Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see each of you in worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to our church bulletin, we have several announcements listed there. We'll not mention all of those. We'll highlight a few of those. Also, take note of the pew pads, which are located at the end of your pew. We invite members and guests alike to jot down your information. We would just like to get a record of your attendance today. Once you've done that, pass that back to the center of the aisle, and somebody will pick that up later on today. This Wednesday night, it's not a misprint. We are having breakfast for supper. So you'll want to be here for our Wednesday family night breakfast for supper. That'll be a great meal together. And it's also not a misprint in there that Grub Club will meet October the 18th. Grub Club is just a way that we just go out and eat together as a church, whoever would like to go. That's going to be October the 18th. We're going to eat at 6 o'clock at River Birch. You can either meet here. We'll leave here at 6, get there by about 6:05. The space is limited for that. So you want to sign up and sign up early. Don't wait to the last minute, because there is a cap on how many we can have that evening. And that will be October the 18th at 6 o'clock. Also, Fall Festival is coming up, and I'm sure many of y'all are like, I'm not coming trunk-or-treating. But we need trunks for the kids to go trunk-or-treating. And so if you have a car and would like to participate in that, we need your assistance. You can decorate it up, have candy, pass it out to the kids. If you're not very creative, Jeff and the family ministry team said that's okay. They still need trunks. And so you can back your car up, and they might help you decorate it if you talk to them beforehand. And then you can pass out the candy to the kids later on. And that is October 31st. If you would like more information about that, talk to Jeff or anybody on family ministry team. Also, you'll see in your bulletin here that we are going to start a study on prayer on Sunday afternoons at 4:30. That's going to start October the 14th. There's a sign-up sheet out at the welcome desk if you would like to participate in that. Just sign your name up, and we'll be getting you more information about that. This morning, we have a message from one of our deacons. Mr. Skip Chinlin's coming to make that now.
Well, today's September 30th, and that's important for a number of reasons. Fall's finally here. That's a good thing. The fair is here. Football's in full season. You can go to the fair and get deep fried whatever. You know. But it's also, today is the start of the deacon election season, so to speak. So nominations start today. We have boxes and nomination forms in with your bulletin this morning. We have boxes and nomination forms outside each of these doors. Nominations will be open for 2 weeks. We'll close them 2 weeks from today, I believe. The election will be Sunday, November 11th. If you have any questions on any of this, the committee this year is myself, Melanie Alexander, Julie Blink, Jeremy Cobble, and R.J. Westfall. Thank you.
Thank you, Skip. Our ushers now are going to come down the aisle. If you're a guest with us for the first time, we would just like to extend a special welcome to you. We don't want to embarrass you or call you out. We just want to give you a little more information about how we do things here at College Park. And so when they pass you back down the aisle, if you would just slip up your hand, they're going to give you a packet of information. Inside that packet of information is a letter from our pastor telling you a little bit more about him and the church. Also, there is a Church Highlights, which is our monthly newsletter, which will let you know about all the other activities and ministries that go on here at College Park. This is a great place to be. This is a great place to worship. That's why we have gathered today to worship. And our choir is now going to come and prepare us for worship.
Marvelous for words.
pray with me? Dear God, we stand in awe of you this morning. What you've done in our lives, how you just simply desire a relationship with us. Father, thank you. Thank you for calling us a child of God. This morning as we worship, allow us to be filled with your Spirit. Speak to us, Father, as you prepare us for this week and as you prepare us for the different challenges that we might face. Father, use this time for your glory. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Good to see everybody this morning. I have something. This is like one of my favorite things in the world. Crayons. All right. I love crayons. Oh, the smell and what you get to do. Now, what I want you to do, one at a time, I want you to pick out your favorite color. One at a time. Okay. Pick out your favorite color. Hannah, you can go ahead. Did you get yours? Okay. Just get favorite color. Now what I want you to do is pick somebody in maybe your mom or dad or grandparent, maybe that you want them to give you something. All right, pick their favorite color. Pick their favorite color. Do you know what their favorite color is? Wait, why do you need to know these things? There's no communicating. Or just pick a color you think they'll like. Pick a color you think they'll like. Dad likes green. Okay. Grandma likes green. Grandma's going to like whatever you bring, okay? I'm telling you. That's just the way it works. All right. Has everybody got one? Okay. I love crayons. My favorite color. Anybody want to guess? How did y'all know? How did you know? I do like NC State. It's also my favorite color at times. Yes. Red. I love red. Wake Forest. We have colors. Everybody's looking this way. Duke. Duke. Any shade of blue. All right. Now, Pastor Raymond's going to talk about in a little while about a big word. Everybody take a look this way. Everybody looking this way. Word called favorites. We have our favorites, the things that we like most of all. It could be Duke, blue. It could be State, red. It could be Wake Forest, black and gold. Or we have our favorites. And then we think we're the, we don't talk about Carolina. We think.
Yeah, yeah, Carolina.
We think. Everybody's listening? Everybody's listening? Everybody listening? What happens, we think we are the best. Whatever we like is the very best. Pastor Raymond's going to talk about in a passage from the Bible that says you and I, we should never play favorites. That God loves everybody, whether they go to Carolina, whether they go to Wake Forest, whether they go to NC State, or Duke. Okay. It doesn't matter. Everybody's listening? Everybody. It doesn't matter because God loves everybody the same. So you and I should work on loving everybody the same. So that's why I got you to get maybe what's not your favorite color, but what somebody else's favorite color is. So I want you to give that to them and let them know how much you love them. Okay? And remember, it's not just about what we like. It's about what God likes. And he loves everybody, so should we. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for your goodness and your grace. You've made us all very special and unique, and that's amazing. But you've also made us to love everybody. Help us to do that, we pray, with everything we have, because that's what Jesus did. He didn't play favorites. He loved everybody. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seats now. Good job. You just never know. You just never know. Ministry of God's Word comes from Deuteronomy chapter 10. You will find this in the Pew Bible. If you did not bring your Bible with you, there is Pew Bible there in front of you. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Be reading verses 12 through 21, and it's on page 133 in the Pew Bible. Deuteronomy 10 from the New International Version. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord sent his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Will you pray with me? Father, when we stop to think about all the ways you have blessed us, we could go on and on and on and on, naming all those times you have been good to us and all those ways. Even on our darkest of days, the great blessing is you have not left us. You have not forsaken us, even in the storm. And Father, what a gift that it is to join together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship you. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy on this day. And we recognize that there are believers around the world today who do not have this same freedom. But yet they worship even under persecution, even under threat of death. May we take advantage of every moment we have and offer that love and freedom through the cross of Christ to everyone we see. Even to those who we may disagree with politically. Those who we may not necessarily like their team of choice. May we see all people as you do. Not from what nation they come from or what language they speak. May we know no partiality, only the love of Christ and how it sets people free. And that is our call for this day and every day. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Let us be mindful that it is our commission to seek those who are not saved and to help bring them to an understanding of the love of God through Jesus Christ. Give us the knowledge and faith that when we are sent, and that you will guide us in sharing your message of love. Make us examples of the transformation that takes place in our hearts and lives when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're grateful for this opportunity to give back a portion of the financial blessings that we have received. Let these gifts be used to further glorify your name. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
job, choir. What was y'all's favorite crayon? You have a favorite crayon? What was your favorite crayon? I just asked the choir. Mine, I was that weird kid. My favorite crayon was burnt sienna. You remember that one? You like that? Yeah, burnt sienna. What a great color, man. It doesn't come in the basic box of eight, you know, the fat crayons. It doesn't come in the, but I think it like 32 or 64 crayons you get burnt sienna. If you've never seen it, never experienced that, you need to do that. That will enrich your life. Yeah, it really will. Man, playing favorites. As I was preparing for this, I went back to the Keyword Study Bible. A lot of help there. Pastor Christopher Holdsworth, some of his writings, the Disciples Study Bible, Pastor Alan Quake, and really anything else that I could find that agreed with my opinion. Actually, the interesting thing is, I spend as much time reading those who disagree with my interpretation as I do, because you don't learn, really, you're not stretched if you constantly read the people that agree with you. You need to understand other perspectives. So I joke about it, but to actually draw on a lot of resources in preparation for today's message from chapter 2 of James, playing favorites. How many of you were the favorite child in your family? Oh, sisters right here in the choir. This is perfect. This is perfect. Don't want to cause a family feud, but how many of you were favorites? How many of you were only children? You better say you're the favorite. Yeah, okay. For sure, y'all are probably the favorites. And when I asked that question a minute ago, what kind of emotions bubbled up in the rest of us? What kind of memories came to the surface, whether they be good memories or perhaps a little bit bitter memories? You know, and in our mind we go, parents should not have favorites. Yeah, right. Parents should not have favorites. I'll tell you this, Carson's my favorite son. Ashton's my favorite daughter. But that's not what we're talking about here, is it? We're talking about that one. Because you see, anytime you have two or more people gathered together, there will be jockeying for preferred position, right? Let me refresh your memory. Lord, when you come into your glory, can I be the one seated at your right hand? Translation is, Lord, pretty please, can I be your favorite? That's what it was. I want to be your favorite. And Jesus had a response for that. And interestingly enough, James, several years later, had another response, very similar to the one Jesus laid out. It comes in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 17. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Period. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you've insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you've become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. You see, the command's pretty simple. He starts out right there, so we make no mistake about it. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Don't play favorites. And James gives us a very visual description of how it all works. And he starts off by demonstrating, first of all, favoritism in action. He outlines it for us. Favoritism in action, verses 1 through 4 again. I just read verse 1, don't play favorites. Verse 2, he gives an illustration. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit at the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You see, he's laying it out there. James knows people. He knows people. And he knows that sinful behavior flourishes in the most unexpected ways. Sometimes we can fall into it without really being aware that it's present in our lives. Sometimes we have practices which are ungodly, but they remain unchallenged. Nobody challenges us on it, so we continue. Sometimes we have a habit that is so deeply ingrained in us that we really just don't realize how bad it is and how badly it appears to other people. And it isn't until someone points the finger, this finger, somebody points the finger at us that we come to our full senses, right? And that's what James is doing. He's pointing the finger. He's saying, in fact, you know, he doesn't just point the finger. He tells his story of how deeply seated favoritism is. It's a story of contrast. It happened one morning at church. It could be any church in the United States or the world on Sunday morning. There are two visitors that show up. One pulls up in a brand new Ferrari 599 GTB. That's a fine car, in case you don't know. He was in his mid-30s, obviously in good shape, good-looking guy, man. He wasn't wearing a suit, but you could tell that he was wearing expensive clothes. And if you missed that part of it, the Rolex on his wrist gave it away. This is a guy that is successful in the eyes of the world. And as a group of people gather around to look at his car and welcome him, another visitor walks down the driveway. This visitor smelt really bad. His clothes were dirty and torn. He really kind of let himself go. The usher at the door decided it was best that maybe he'd just sit out in the foyer. You know, he'd still be able to see and to hear the service, but the smell wouldn't put people off. Besides, we want him as far as possible away from the collection bag as possible, if you know what I mean. As his chair is being set up in the foyer, the guy who owned the Ferrari has been warmly greeted by at least a dozen people. They are all more than willing to get to know him. The guy in the foyer, nobody really noticed. That's the story. It's hurtful. It's designed to be hurtful because it hurts us. And why does it hurt us? Maybe because deep down we all know that there's a certain measure of truth about it, right? Yeah, we don't want to admit it. It's easy to be willing to speak to certain people. It's not always easy to speak to other people. You know, so if we're honest with ourselves, we need to admit that sometimes we discriminate. In the Greek, the word favoritism literally means receive the face. That's what we do when we discriminate. We only look at the face value of issues or people. We never bother to get to know enough to look deeper. So some actions of the community are deemed worse than others. Some people in the community are given less focus and attention than others. And we often make judgments on all kinds of surface features without looking deeper. And we try to excuse our behavior. We say, well, everybody does it. Come on, preacher, everybody does it. Everybody doesn't do it. Jesus didn't do it. He didn't do it. When Jesus looked at us, he did not discriminate on the basis of what he saw. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Read through the Gospels and you'll see that Jesus mixed with all sorts of people from every aspect, every place in society. Jesus not only mixed with them, he was comfortable with them. Didn't have that kind of nervous, well, I'm going to do my due here and then I'm going to get out of here because I really don't like being with you. He was comfortable with people. He gave time. He gave attention to every individual. He didn't prejudge. He didn't care what other people thought. And that much was very obvious to everyone, even angered some, like the religious leaders of the day, made them angry. But Jesus does not judge on the basis of what he sees. He doesn't play favorites. Why does Jesus not play favorites? It's as deep and complex and yet as simple as the Trinity. You see, Jesus doesn't play favorites because, secondly, God does not play favorites. Look in verses 5 through 7. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you've insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? Now, at first, as we read that, you go, well, it sounds to me like God plays favorites. He's not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, or has he not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? That sounds a lot like favoritism, but it's not. Because the text doesn't say God chose the poor. The text clearly says God has chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world. And see, Jesus identified this same group. These are the poor in spirit. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It doesn't say God has a soft spot for the poor, but rather he has a soft spot for those who are poor in spirit. There is a difference, although we could argue all of that. You see, the poor in spirit are those who come before the Lord recognizing that they have empty hands. They're not good enough. They're not strong enough. Their faith is not strong enough. Their life is not worthy enough. Those are the ones who say, "I've got a spiritual account with God, and it says spiritually bankrupt. And therefore, I'm at the total mercy of the grace of God." God has a soft spot for people who recognize that they are poor in this way. Indeed, it is these sorts of people for whom God sent his Son. And it was his Son who saw the potential in the lives of people. Let me give you some examples. Think about the Apostle Peter. He's always on my top list of examples. The Apostle Peter, impetuous, doubting, lacked patience, always talked out of turn, always talked loudly out of turn, denied Jesus, and yet the Lord used him mightily, built his church upon him. Think about the Samaritan woman at the well. She had had 7 husbands. She was shunned by her own society, yet she is the one who Jesus used to spread the good news, to spread the gospel, the message of salvation to that whole area. Amazing. That's how God does it. That's how God works. He chooses the most unlikely people because they're available, and he enables them to be used mightily for the cause of the kingdom. He used a stuttering, exiled murderer named Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. He chose David, who was the smallest and the youngest of Jesse's sons, to be one of the greatest kings. He chose Mary, the poor fiance of a carpenter, to bear the very Son of God in her womb. He chose 12 men. They included fishermen, terrorists, tax collectors, a betrayer, and a denier, and he chose them to start the church that would bring the message of hope, the message of peace and love and grace, salvation to all the world. He chose us. Who are we? Who am I? Who am I to be given such riches as this? You see, God doesn't play favorites. Neither should we. Because the real value of a person is not what they wear. It's not where they live. It's not which society circles they circulate in. The real value of a person can only be measured in terms of a relationship. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And no matter what people are like, and no matter how prejudiced we might be, the fact remains that none of us deserve to be brought into the family of God. Which brings us to the last significant truth that I'll cover from this passage today, and that is playing favorites is a sin. Verses 8 through 13. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the law, the whole law, and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you've become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You see, the problem with playing favorites is it sends the wrong message. It destroys your witness. It harms the kingdom of God. How many of you know who Mahatma Gandhi was? You understand Mahatma Gandhi? He was a world-renowned, well-known Hindu leader in India. During his student days, he read the Gospels, and he took them quite seriously. And he actually considered converting from Hindu to Christianity. He believed that the Gospels, that the teachings of Jesus, actually gave the solution to the caste system that was dividing the people of India. He understood that. He understood that what Jesus taught could make a difference, could literally break down that caste system that divided people. So he decided, well, I'll find out about this more. On one Sunday, he decided to attend a Christian church service to talk to the minister about becoming a Christian. But when he arrived at the church, the usher refused to give him a seat and suggested he go worship with his own people. Gandhi left the church, and he never went back. In his autobiography, he wrote this, quote, "If Christians have caste differences also, I might as well remain a Hindu." What an incredible tragedy. What a tragedy. Imagine what could have happened if Gandhi had become a Christian. One person's prejudice not only betrayed Jesus, but also turned a person away from trusting Christ as their Savior. That is why it is not a small issue which we can just disregard as being irrelevant. We know that we are guilty of prejudging people on basis of all kinds of things, looks, whatever. We know that we put people into boxes and we categorize them. We know we do that, but we also need to know that it's wrong. Not only is it wrong, it's a sin. We cannot hide behind the excuse that everyone's doing it. We cannot. The Scriptures identify favoritism as a sin. Therefore, we need to change our behavior. How do we do that? James tells us in verses 14 through 17. This is the application. This is where the wheel hits the road. Verse 14 through 17. "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If you say to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but do nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Our primary objective is not to show favoritism. Our primary objective is to show love. Amen? Is it coincidence that we are in actively doing this kind of thing, whether it's sending stuff down east or trying to help in our community? But really, with the whole focus of the last couple of weeks of providing aid to people that we know are desperately in need, is it coincidence that we have this passage of Scripture today? I don't believe so. I don't believe in coincidences. You've heard me say that before. I just don't believe it. I don't believe in coincidence. We are actively living out our faith for the benefit of those who need it, but also for the benefit of the kingdom. Because the world notices our love in action. As the world sees action, where many times all it notices is words, they notice action. They're tired of words. And yet there's so much more to do. We'll be taking another truck down this week. Be going to Greenville. Yeah, I know you got the email about it. Continue to help us. We're sending food. We're sending personal hygiene items. We're sending water. We're trying to feed and to clothe those who need our help. And James focuses our attention. He says, look at the royal law which comes to us from King Jesus, who said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the defining mark of Christianity ought to be our indiscriminate love for one another. Not just saying that we love people of all different backgrounds. Yes, we welcome anyone, blah, blah, blah. But living it out in a very practical way. Again, James, as I've said the last two, James was all about living out your faith in very practical ways. Let your faith take on life. And it starts here today with one another and all the other one another's that we will encounter this week. James says, don't show favoritism. Instead, be the one who helps others see the gracious love of Jesus. Verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Have a faith that is alive. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Gracious Father, we know what we need to do. I mean, it's very clear. It's in your word. It's in your teachings. We know what we're supposed to do. But it's our own selfishness, our own insecurities that keep us from doing it. So help us, Father. Touch us at the point of our need. Forgive us of our sin, because we confess it is sin. Forgive us of our sin and empower us, teach us as we move forward. Allow us to see people as you see them. Allow us to be comfortable and to talk with people and to bless them by giving them a listening ear. Help us to quit talking so much and listen. And then take what we hear and put it into action. Take the need, take the hurt that we hear, and place it into active ministry. And as we do that, the world will see. The world will see that the Christ that we profess is truly alive. The Christ that we profess truly cares about them. And your kingdom will be expanded, and your name will be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not have that relationship I referred to in the sermon, if you do not have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that's step number one. I'd be glad to talk with you. We're going to stand and sing in just a minute. I invite you. I'd be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. Come see me here at the front. If you're here and you say, I am a believer, but I've got a lot of stuff I need to confess, get out of the way, and get back on track, welcome to the club. We're right there with you. We're all in that process. Okay, so you can settle that where you are, where you're singing, or the altar will be here if you want to come pray at the altar. I'll be glad to speak with you if that's your desire. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, I highly recommend it. It is a beautiful fellowship. It is an active fellowship of believers seeking to serve Christ here in our community, as well as in other parts of the state and other parts of the world. That we receive members in a lot of different ways. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Couple of announcements as you go. Frances Vestal, many of you knew Frances. She passed away this week. We will have a service of celebration of her life on Saturday here in the sanctuary at 1 o'clock. That's Saturday here in the sanctuary at 1 o'clock, and there'll be a time immediately following the service where you'll be able to speak to the family in Smith Hall. So if you are able to, I'd love for you to come and participate in that time of celebration. I also want to introduce to you, for those of you that don't know my sister, Margaret East. Margaret, I don't want to embarrass you, but she needs to catch the bus to go back to Brook Ridge. They can't miss lunch over there. So she doesn't want to stand here and greet everybody today, but I want you to see her so that next week you can speak to her, okay? And welcome her to the family, because she's coming this morning asking for membership by transfer of letter from Cave Spring Baptist Church. Is that right? In Roanoke, Virginia. Okay, Cave Spring Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia, by transfer of letter. If you will love her, encourage her, and introduce yourself to her next week, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right, fantastic. following our benediction and the choral response, greet one another, encourage one another, be sure and greet our guests. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace that surrounds us. Father, we acknowledge that we did nothing to deserve any of those things, and yet you pour them freely upon us. Help us to do the same. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.